this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? It is good to be back. And by back, I mean back in the 3 points camp. We're talking about Manchester United on the road, the Brentford Community Stadium. Sir, bad blood down in London. I'll tell you what, their manager, he wasn't happy about losing that game. But Manchester United showed up big time in the second half. Really ugly in the first half. Just like everything that we've disliked over the last couple months of football. But second half was very promising. All the academy lads putting in a shift. Alanga, Greenwood, Rashford with a goal, much needed. And Bruno with two assists, sir. It felt like a vintage couple minutes at least. How are we feeling?
Sir, look, first half, not going to lie. That was a tough watch. This team, sir, that's all I got to say. This team, it's been ever since De Gea missed that penalty against Villarreal, it's been a hell of a ride. And coming here away at the Brentford Community Stadium, the upside was the away fans were rocking, but that was a shit first half of football. I mean, one of the worst I can remember. I had to make a cup of coffee. Because it's like, you look at like 20 minutes in, I've just got my head back, started just dozing off because this team wasn't showing enough fight. But then they come out second half, they turn it around. I mean, the youngsters involved, Elanga earning his goal. Like you said, the story of the academy, the history of this club, it's important to recognize. And a big result. You like to finish strong, sir. You don't have to start strong, but you got to finish strong. It has been a rough ride, 9 matches in under Ralf Rangnick. But I hope we're going to see more of the second half going forward.
No, it's right, because the first half was bad, as bad a football as we've seen under the German, but the second half was the best football we've also seen under the German. Have to say, commanding performance from a couple of those players in the midfield, they really stepped up, McTominay being one of them, bossed it at times. Dalot had a good performance. I thought Maguire did not look good when he came on. We'll talk about that later, sir. But Bruno getting the assists, Rashford getting a much-needed goal, Greenwood getting a much-needed goal, Alanga showing just like his cutting edge, and Ronaldo, of course, hating getting pulled off, sir. That elite mentality hasn't changed since 2008, sir, when he was pissed back then about getting subbed off. But I'm just thrilled, just because we saw glimpses of some promise today and reminders of what we got, and we got some really good youngsters that are ready to rock.
And those are the types of players you want to see gaining confidence, including Marcus Rashford. He gets his goal. Great finish from him. He needs that. He hasn't been in great form as of late. Manchester United hasn't been in great form as of late, but we have reverted to the 4-3-3, you know, exactly, putting Bruno in the middle of the park. I do think Rangnick is a little pragmatic there. I like to see that from the manager as well. The question is, we got a real test against West Ham, sir. Then we got international break. It's an opportunity for Rangnick to kind of get some of these youngsters who aren't featuring internationally just yet up to speed on his style of play. So it could be a good transition if we have a gutty performance against David Moyes at West Ham, sir. It'd be a big match for Manchester United, and then going on international break. Could be perfect time.
It is the biggest test yet for Ralf Rangnick, but it would be a great way, right? Remember the last international break? That was a mess. If we could finish with a win at home against the Hammers, who are above us in the table, how dare I say so, that would be a great way to head into it. We're not going to the Middle East. They wanted to do a warm weather training in Dubai. Got scrapped because the COVID spike around the world. So players are getting time off. But like, I think just having that positivity headed into the window, I'm not expecting anything on the transfer side. But getting a win to head in, I think is great, especially big win today against a tough Brentford side who they're thorny. They're a tough side to beat down, sir. Tough side to break down.
I don't know about tough side.
14th. 14th in the league, sir. They're challenging.
West Ham's a tough side. As far as we've been making it look tough, I'll tell you that much. But, sir, we could go on all day. about David Moyes, West Ham, Brentford, and the like. But we got a quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, you can support us on Patreon. We do not have any greedy corporate sponsors on this podcast trying to sell you different types of products you hear on every other podcast. We're just two lads on the couch giving you that biased fan take. We do everything ourselves. We think this podcast should be run for and supported by the fans. And the best way to do that is Patreon. Visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We give away scarves, stickers, pins, shirts, you name it. There's four tiers. You can support us anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. Please check it out. It goes a long way keeping the lights on here at the bunker. Big shout out to Park Wyatt. You're the real MVP. Just became a member on Patreon. We really appreciate you. Thank you for the support. Sir, also check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store. We have some great beanies, hoodies, scarves, etc. Everything you buy goes to support independent fan content and the American Red Devils. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews, they're a great way to support the pod. And you don't have to just do it in iTunes. You could do it in Spotify, wherever you listen to the American Red Devils. Here's what you got to do. Write a 5-star review wherever you listen and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mail and address. And I will personally send you some free American Red Devils gear. I just sent out a whole big bunch of it around the world, sir, all the way to Norway and beyond.
Pick, pack, and ship, baby.
Pick, pack, and ship, baby. Great way to support the pod. It doesn't cost a single dollar at all, and it helps the American Red Devils get found by other Muppets around the world who like to hear about all the hot gossip, hot banner we got, sir. This team, I'll tell you what, they put us through a lot over the last 12 months.
Yeah, and if you want to hear people talk about tactics and, you know, try to tell you how smart they are about football, even though they don't have a job in football, you're at the wrong place. The American Red Devils, we give it straight from the gut, sir. We tell you exactly how horrible it's been watching this team over the last 6 months. Oh, my God, it has been so long since we've seen good football from Manchester United. And we signed Sancho, Ronaldo, and Varane this summer. We thought we were winning the league, and struggling against. And it's gone to the other side of Manchester.
A year ago, we were top of the table. By the way, bud, like a year ago, give or take a week.
Ole was at the wheel a year ago, sir. You know, same things. Let's just get into it. Brentford 1, Manchester United 3 at the Brentford Community Stadium. What in the hell has happened to this club, sir? I thought we used to win things. But let's get into this match. Starting 11, David De Gea in net. Tell me about Telles at left back. Lindelof, Varane center back pairing. Dalot at right back. McTominay, Bruno Fernandes midfield with a long on the left. Ronaldo at number 9 and Greenwood on the right. Sir, what'd you make of this lineup?
So when I saw this lineup, I liked it. I was, you know, there were reasons why we wouldn't see AWB. I think he was sick. Shaw, I believe, got injured in training. So Telles and Dalot getting another chance to impress. I love the youngsters. The long and Greenwood again. I thought they looked good in Villa, even though obviously we screwed the pooch and blew the lead. And then Ronaldo back up front. Also, McSauce, they showed a little bit more vig and vigor under the German. So I wasn't too disappointed to see them starting as well. Sir, what did you think when you saw it?
Yeah, Sancho was out as well. That's the only one I would have liked to maybe get a run. Ronaldo coming in, I think that's good. Alanga, I love that he's getting minutes, but be careful, Rangnick, he needs rotation. You know, I don't want him to just keep playing him. But obviously, he did get his goal. I felt like he wasn't as impactful in the first half. You could say that about every single Manchester United player. But let's get into that first half, sir. We're not going to cover too much of it because it was one to forget. Absolutely dreadful for Manchester United. 8th minute, Alanga had a decent chance, but he headed it towards the keeper. And then De Gea, big saves from De Gea in the 13th minute and the 32nd. Dalot did have a decent hit, outside boot, kind of drifting wide. But it was a half to forget. Brentford had lots of chances going forward, sir. They had it like with the Dave saves. He kicked save and a boot twice. They should have had goals. We looked like our defense looked as bad as it's been all season. And going forward, nothing doing. No shots on target in the first half. It was just a rough watch.
Some of the passing is fucking scratchy.
It was fucking scratchy. It was. I know all United fans were sitting there, arms crossed, just not happy with what they're seeing. Like you said, we looked frail at times. we weren't pressing high like we've been told was going to be the philosophy of this team, like we've seen it at moments. And every final ball was off. It was off by a yard or two. We just couldn't even make the simple passes look simple. And it was just kind of a dreadful thing. All the worst that we've seen in this team over the last, let's call it 6 months, in one half of football. It can only go up from here. I mean, De Gea is the big standout. What a player. What a half he had. He had like three huge saves in the first half. I feel like United calmed it down a little bit after the first half an hour. But De Gea is showing his worth. Best keeper in the league by far.
So on Twitter, I always tweet out halftime thoughts to the American Red Devils faithful. Just a few one or two word phrases that they use to describe the first half. Amateur hour. Same old story. Absolute crap. Dog shit. Disgusting. Need some midfielders. Absolute shite. We played nonsense. So, I mean, this is kind of the situation it was in the first half. United just, sir, soft. Soft serve FC. Got no grit, got nothing. Going to Brentford, getting bullied. It's just like the giveaways, bad giveaways. The amount of flicks and dummies that went to nobody in like our half is incredible. Giving them the breaks. Brentford was up for it. And as soon as they sniffed blood, it was on. You know, like we kind of held it off for like 13 minutes and then boom, the floodgates opened because we started getting nervy at the back. We couldn't find a pass and we were under pressure.
We were under pressure and we were shooting ourselves in the foot, right? Because a team like Brentford pressed so high, team like us that's so uncomfortable passing between the lines, wants to pass sideways. There's a lot of that in the first half. And then when we did pass between the lines, that ball in the final third was always off. It was always too short, too long. It was just bad football. So, you know, as good as it was in the second half, it was as bad in the first half. And thankfully, you know, they didn't take their chances. And we have one of the finest keepers around, Sir David De Gea, showing his worth. Pay him. We're paying him that £400,000 a week. He's worth it.
Sir, I mean, well, saves. Well, absolutely well worth it. Let's come out. Let's cover the second half. We actually care about this one. 47th minute, Ronaldo hits the crossbar with a looping header. 48th minute, United get broken on from a corner again. This one was a huge opportunity for Brentford. Again, set pieces, nightmare.
Terrible.
Even when we have a corner, we're going to concede. It makes no sense. United just out of sorts. That set piece coach, a lot of hype behind them, but we haven't seen any results. I think we're 107 set pieces or 107 corners without a goal, sir. Unbelievable. Look at the players we have on our team. We should be scoring some. Bruno even having trouble beating the first man on the corner, sir. We need to go back to basics with this team. But, sir, we can criticize them all day long. Let's get into it. The 55th minute, Elanga.
Fred, Elanga. Little Swede has snatched it. Fleet of foot, bright of mind. And notwithstanding 54 pretty grey minutes for Manchester United, they strike first.
It's a well-taken goal from Anthony Elanga. Found brilliantly as well by Fred. He hasn't quite been at the same level as we saw against Aston Villa at the weekend. But I've just been saying, they've got to utilise his pace in behind.
What a ball by Fred. What a run by Elanga. You know, there's a surefire way to forget 54 minutes of shit football, and that is scoring a goal, sir. What a goal for Manchester United here.
Exactly what Manchester United needed. You know what? I don't think it was against the run of the play. United was the better team in the second half, but a great goal. Great ball over the top from Fred, becoming his trademark little scoop over the top. And Elanga, deft touch from a teenager, so 19 years old still, showing how much promise is coming out of the academy these days.
A lot to do with that one.
Elanga, there was a lot Greenwood, to Rashford, sir. That front three could be something for years to come. But like you said, a lot to do, but a hungry goal, right? Keeps going, pushes it in. Big goal for United on the road.
And we kept our foot on the gas, sir. 57th minute, McSauce tests the keeper from way out. And the 62nd minute, good old Money Ronaldo. Mason.
Chested off into the path of Bruno Fernandes, who is on his way here for Manchester United. And Mason Greenwood does the easy bit. And Man Manchester United have comfort. That was a smooth execution. A smart snaffle of possession at the expense of Ethan Pinnock. Bruno Fernandes found additional pace. He found Mason Greenwood.
Great pass from Bruno. Great finish by Mason. I mean, these are simple connections we haven't seen. We've seen a lot of people making the runs, haven't been able to connect, and you like to see that. Two great players. Ronaldo with a great flick on the Bruno as well in the lead up to that goal. Sir, 2-0 to Manchester United.
Sir, watching this goal, you're going to get mad at me, but I got to play this.
He's at the wheel, man. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
I watched this goal. I haven't seen this United since this is like Ole counterball, and I know it seems like a simple thing, but it's so refreshing to see that goal, right? We've been like dying for this goal. That's why we have the midfield.
Yeah, but we're good at this.
I know we are. We used to score tons of these goals.
Yeah, but the problem is when you have the ball. When we have the ball and it's 0-0 and they're organized, we can't do anything. We can't get behind the defense. We can't pass between the lines. And so this is where we're good. When we have a goal and a team's got to come forward, we can counter. But starting from 0-0, starting, you know, the same questions that we've been asking are still there. So our 71st minute double sub, McGuire, Harry Maguire still plays for us. And Marcus Rashford, by the way, on for Greenwood and Ronaldo. Ronaldo having a meltdown like my 2-year-old son when I got to tell him he's got to go to bed.
It's true.
Literally. But here's the thing. I'm not as nice to my 2-year-old son as Rangnick is to Ronaldo. I'll tell you, he came up mid-game, sits next to him, starts whispering in his ear, "Hey, man, you're really great. I really like you.
We're saving you for Saturday, bro.
You know, these other players are just not that good. You know, the other players aren't that good, and we got to get them in, you know, just so they think that they're good. But no one's as good as you." I think that's what he told him.
He's like, "Dude, you just got injured. You just injured. We're playing Saturday. You're going to start."
No, you got to stroke the ego. You got to stroke.
You're so
there's
good.
Only one way with Ronaldo. You got to stroke that ego.
We need someone else on the pitch to score a goal, so you got
to
get off.
To add insult to injury, Ronaldo was taking off, and Marcus Rashford scored. 77.
Reset. Stolen back by the determined McTominay, who nicked it on for Fernandes. And now here is Marcus Rashford to lash it into the roof and secure the points for Manchester United. Boy, he has thirsted for that. That's why, Cristiano. That's why. Let's be friends.
Yeah, he might not like it, but he should like the scoreline.
I mean, after that, so like Rashford scores, immediately the camera pans to Rangnick whispering sweet nothings into Ronaldo's ear, which is just a riot. After the interview he gave, you know, he's a maniac. And that's why he's the ultimate competitor, right? He's never going to get taken off. So even if he's like 52 playing for the LA Galaxy, he's not going to get one. And injured, he's never going to want to be taken off the pitch. It's just who he is. 3-0 to Manchester United, sir. 84th minute sub, Matic for McTominay. And then, unfortunately, sir, there was, you know, the defending at Manchester United. Yeah, 85th minute.
McTominay is the natural change. Sorensen hurls it in. Pinnock! It's scrambled in, and Brentford, late in the day, have...
As soon as they saw the long throw guy, I knew one was going in, sir. The long throw was just like, this is... We're not the type of team that's dealing with this situation very well. I've seen this movie before.
No, you know what? They probably deserved a goal. All the chances they had today, especially in the first half, they deserved a goal. Wasn't the best goal to concede, and I have to call it out. I don't want to slay them because he just came back from injury. Maguire, it's like he invites pressure. He doesn't attack the ball. Sir, you're bringing on your monster.
I don't want to slay them, but I'm slating them.
Well, you got to. He didn't play. He came on, did not look good.
Harry Maguire. Sir, I like Harry Maguire.
So
he plays good for England. Something's off with him in Manchester United. It always has been. He kind of plays off and on for us. Then he goes to England, looks like a totally different player. I don't know. Harry Maguire. 93rd minute, Bruno with a golden chance, squanders it. That was the match. 3-1 to Manchester United, sir. You know, you ship a shit goal, you're up three, whatever. But that's this team in a nutshell. You really have to look at it. Our defense is shaky. Our midfield, we get opened up way too easily. The chances that we concede in this goal, Brentford easily could have had three. I'm just trying to give the no BS take. De Gea bailed us out. Clearly, there's two that should have been goals. He kick save and a butte on both. They end up getting one. At least our attack kind of started humming. Alonga, Greenwood, Rashford, you love to see that. But we need to be scoring 3-4 goals to beat Brentford, really, given the chances we're shipping. So the problems are still the same. Not a lot to do with the ball when you need to break somebody down. And obviously we're killer on the counterattack. When we have that lead, we're good at finishing teams, and our defense is good at shipping goals. So it's just this really tough situation for Rangnick. The pieces aren't there. The midfield's light. If McTominay goes down, we're in trouble, and we're thin in a serious spot. And that begs the question, what is John Murtaugh doing? What did he do last summer when we needed the midfield? But here we are, sir. This is the way it is.
Well, this is the Glazernomics. You know, Manchester United has been misrun and mismanaged by the Glazers and Ed Woodward for a long time, close to two decades now, sir. It's going to be sooner rather than later, coming on 20 years. And at the end of the day, Rangnick and whoever follows Rangnick will fight with one hand behind their back because of them, because of the Arnolds of the world, the Murtaughs of the world, because they're not buying nobody. They ain't making no moves in the midfield. But that being said, I'm not going to talk about the mismanagement.
Well, no, it is January. But it's January.
No, we should be strengthening, right? If we're going for the top four, we're outside of it. We're seventh place, sixth place, whatever. Go for the top four. They should be strengthening. But I'm just trying to take the positives away from today that we couldn't even counter a couple weeks ago. So, like, our counter was what we did. That's what we, like, that was Ole ball. And that's what this team can definitely do well. Like, we were one of the best countering teams in the league. So, the fact that we couldn't even do that under Ralph, under Carrick, obviously under Ole at the end, we show that today. We need that because I know that's not going to work for all teams. That you're right, and doesn't work when you're not winning. But we have to be able to do that, and at least we saw some of that today. So,
well, Bruno was playing centrally,
and he played well today too. He didn't give the ball away as much.
Yep.
He was really good. He played really well today. It was like one of the best performances from Bruno in a long time. Obviously, he had two assists. But all I'm saying is, you're right. We're leaky as a sieve. The midfield still needs to be sorted. The defense probably needs to be re-upgraded in certain parts. But there are positives.
No, the positives. So, like, I'm just trying to call it like I see it.
No,
here's what this game is. Here are the themes for Manchester United as of late. Now, if you look at what the manager has done since he came in, he tried to do the high press. All right, for some reason, players don't want to do that. Then they start leaking things to the press that they don't want to do that. So then he's doing the 4-2-2. In the last two games, he switched to the 4-3-3, or the 4-2-3-1 to get Bruno more centrally. That has done better for our attack. We've been scoring more goals when we've seen Bruno play more centrally. So I think he's kind of figuring it out on the job. And so you can see Rangnick maybe making some kind of poor decisions, correcting them, getting the attack going, and now sorting out the defense is really the key issue for Manchester United. Harry Maguire, there's question marks. Luke Shaw obviously has a knock, but Rangnick can figure it out. I think he has a good CV. I can see what he's doing and what he's changed in the results, and then why we're getting 3 points here. Clearly, we wish we would have gotten three against Villa, but our defense let us down. I think that's still the biggest part for this team is the defending. It's clear, and hopefully Rangnick can, you know, over international break, have some time sorted out. We've been trading sideways, sir. I mean, we're not going, this is encouraging, but West Ham's the game. We beat West Ham 2-1. We beat West Ham 1-0. That would be officially we are on the up. Right? I wouldn't say that Brentford is a we are on the up.
No, this is like you said, I don't want to call it treading water, but like you should be beating Brentford even on the
yes.
road.
This is easy schedule.
This is like
easy.
We were the favorite. I was looking at the line beforehand, sir. We were the favorite. But I'll take it because it's been that dreadful that, hey, you know what? I'll take it. And then we're playing Big Bad Hammers at home. David Moyes. It's always going to be a blood match, sir. But United, dude, like you said, I think he's actually showing something that we always were looking for in Ole. We didn't get it. And that's that tinkering, that course correcting in real time, dude. We blew the Aston Villa game. He made changes that, like, hey, we still leaked a goal, but we held on to the lead. And obviously, you should be able to hold on to a 3-goal lead against Brentford. But I'm just saying, it's like you actually are seeing it game to game, changing formations out, changing
exactly.
players out. Alonga's a player. I'm going to play him again. Like,
yes.
That's just,
That's more like a football manager.
I've tested things
it's
out.
More like what you say, more like a professional.
Which is encouraging,
someone
sir.
Who's been
which
there before. Yeah, exactly. Someone who hasn't has managed more than Molda, unfortunately, is what we're going to say. It's like, not like the FIFA team that you play where at the same starting 11 every game until they just like fall over with injuries. All right, sir. Match reaction here. United, 5 shots on target to Brentford's 8. 13 shots to their 18, sir. Possession, we have 57% of the ball to their 43%. I would like us to be generating more chances. I think from the attacking perspective, the urgency early on in the game when we have the ball to go forward and be brave, I think Rangnick's going to sort that out. And then organizationally at the back, I think he's going to be sorting that out. It's got a lot to sort. And, you know, midweek game and then West Ham. So we got to give it time, but you can see the tinkering from Rangnick and it's getting better. It's just going to take some time. You got to give the man time. Manchester United have won their 300th Premier League game away from home, the first time to reach such a milestone in the competition, sir.
First team.
First team to reach that milestone. I'd rather have a trophy. Fred has been involved in 4 goals his last 7 Premier League games for Manchester United. 1 goal, 3 assists. As many as he had in his first 86 appearances in the competition, 3 goals, 1 assist. So Fred improving from attacking perspective. I think the commentator said it really. Fred and McTominay look to be more attack-minded midfielders, not defensive-minded midfielders. They're not being played in the right position. If you really think about it, there's the gaping hole for the director of football. So, you know, we need a few CDMs we can bring in.
No, I mean, that's what everyone says. Like, wait till you see what Fred's capable of. They always talk about how well he plays with Casemiro at Brazil, right? Having like a proper destroying CDM, which United have been calling out for a long time, right? We haven't signed one since Matic. But they have done a job. You know, they don't always, they started off dreadfully. They were both pretty bad in the first 30, but McTominay and Fred put some good shifts in at large swaths this game today, sir.
What do we know, sir? We're just Muppets on the couch. Let's hear from the manager.
Hi, Ralph. Congratulations on the win tonight. Did you feel somewhat fortunate still to be level at halftime?
Yes, I think we have to be honest without David and his brilliant saves, it would have been difficult to have a clean sheet at halftime. The first half was not good. We were second best in almost all aspects of the game. Sloppy passing, not strong enough in the center of the pitch, in the tackles. We were losing almost all 50-50 situations. We didn't win a single second ball in the first half. If we had a few counter-attacking situations, we were almost a little bit too nervous on the ball. But we also have to admit that there is an opponent on the pitch and they played extremely aggressive, extremely brave, pressing us high. And those were all the aspects that we spoke about at halftime. So in the second half, we did things a lot better. Exemplary for me for that kind of football that we played in the second half was Scott McTominay. He won almost all second balls in the second half. He won a lot of 50-50 situations in the center of the pitch. And then we had our counter-attacking situations. And in the end, we could have scored 4 or 5 goals. But I have to admit, after the first half, we couldn't have complained if we had been 2-0 down.
Ahmed Ali? Sorry, you're on mute.
Hi, hello. Ralph, obviously today we saw Bruno got himself 2 assists in that number 8 role and kind of played well. Do you prefer him more in that number 8 role or the number 10?
Yes, I think most of the top teams in Europe and also in England play in a 4-3-3. I think for him it's better than being pinned to a number 10 position because he can then make himself available in different areas of the pitch, not only in the center of the pitch. For me, he's not a wing player, but I think in this position as an 8, he can find the spaces himself. I think he can sniff the moments in which areas we have to play the ball to him and he can make himself available. And therefore, I think this position as an 8 is almost perfect for him.
Ben Ronson?
Hi, Ralph. I've got to ask you about Cristiano's reaction when he came off. Do you have any issue with his reaction? And what did you feel the need to speak to him about on the bench? We saw pictures of you having a chat with him there.
Well, the only reaction that I got notice of is that he was asking me, why me? Why do you take me off? And I said to him, listen, I have to take the decision in the interest of the team and the club. And we had exactly the same situation 5 days ago at Villa Park, being 2-0 up with 15 minutes to play. And of course, we didn't want to make the same mistake again. I decided to switch to a back five with Harry Maguire and bring on Marcus as another fast winger on the right-hand side. And I think it was the right decision. That Cristiano was not happy. I mean, he's a goal scorer. He would have wished to stay on and maybe score a goal himself. But for us, it was more important to be compact, to make sure that we have enough legs and enough also strong headers to defend their free kicks, their set pieces. And when we had scored the third goal, I said exactly that to him. I said, look, Cristiano, I understand that you're still ambitious and you want to score yourself, but maybe in a couple of years when you're a head coach yourself, you will hopefully take the same decision and be in the same role that I was today after 75 minutes.
Sir, you had to listen to a little more because, you know, new manager, you got to hear his thought process. So pragmatic. Everything he says about what he told Ronaldo, he tells you, this is what I told him, as well as the first half, we were horrible. And then, oh, by the way, we blew open the doors. And oh, by the way, to the American Red Devil Muppets, Bruno's playing 8. He's not playing 10, sir. As far as I see it, I don't think Fred's getting as attacking shaded as Bruno. And I think Bruno kind of drifts inside. I call it 10, call it 8.5, whatever you want to call it, sir. That's what I say.
Sir, all I know is that I like when he speaks, and that's why I put that piece together last week. Sir, I'm going to finish it up this week. Why Ralph is the perfect man to clean up the laser mess? Because he's pragmatic. You know, maybe he's not the perfect manager to lead us in over the next decade. The more I read about a certain Eric, the more I like him. But he's the right man to oversee the next, 5 years from a footballing operation, sir. He gets it. He speaks the truth. He knows we're not doing right, what we're doing right. So, if the Glazers have any sense, John Murtaugh has any sense, if Ed Woodward has any fucking sense, they'll listen to that man. He knows what he's talking about. So he's not the manager for the future, but he's you can tell he's smart and you just want him around, bro. You just meet smart people, you're like, get him involved making decisions.
Looking at the table, Manchester United, still 7th, sir. Lucky number 7 here. Same number that CR7 wears. We have 35 points, 21 games. Arsenal, 20 games, 35 points. Tottenham, 19 games, 36 points. West Ham, 22 games, 37 points. So from 4th, we are 1 game off of it with a game in hand. So I don't mind that. Tottenham, 2 games behind us. So, you know, potentially if they were to win their games, this is kind of where it gets tricky. They have 42 points. And if we would be behind them, right? So if 42 to our 35 is what would be 4th place if they won their 2 games in hand.
Well, you know what? We've been on the dip and we're still in it. So as it relates to this season, all I care about is top 4. I don't want to play Hans and Franz. And we all knew it. I didn't even include it in the news because it's known. Ronaldo's it's been leaked. He's like, we don't make top 4. I'm fucking out of here. So that's known, obviously. So I want him around for at least another year because he's he's Ronaldo, and because the mentor relationship that he could offer for the youngsters, I think, is unbelievably valuable.
Yeah, yelling about getting subbed. Yeah,
why aren't you eating a meat-free diet, or why aren't you staying extra hours at Carrington?
I'm a number one Ronaldo fan, first of all. I really like him. Sort of got his signed jersey. My favorite player. Him coming back to Manchester United, I don't think should have happened ultimately. Even as a huge Ronaldo fan, and you know, you and me probably going to Old Trafford in May, for that reason, because I don't think he'd be around, and I think I have to see him play for Manchester United. I have seen him play on tour, but never for the club at Old Trafford. I want to check that box, but you saw the attitude when he got subbed. The Sky Sports interview is great. Everything's great. Fergie, everything's great. But he'll drop us, sir. He'll drop Manchester. We don't make Champions League. He's out.
Which is okay.
He gets subbed. He's mad. There are elements to that. I don't believe it's this. I love the Ronaldo interview. Listen to the full thing. You think like everything's great with Ronaldo. There are some things behind the scenes, I'm sure, that are not so great with him. You know, I do believe he's not all lifting everybody up.
You think? He's a freaking, you know, enormous crazy ego.
Yes.
And dude, this thing happened in 08. Like, his ego hasn't changed. He's a hell of a player, and I don't think he gets to the player that he's become without having a bit of an ego and a bit of an edge and a bit of a crazy work ethic, and that's what he got. That's what he has. And if we don't make it in top four, it's better if he leaves, because he'll be just so pissed that we're playing in Europe, not playing in the Champions League, that it won't be good for anyone. But we still have a whole half a season left. We're only at 21 games, so almost half a season left. And I still think we can finish top four. I know what you mean, but like, he was doing that in 08. And he's always going to be pissed that he gets taken off because he wants to score goals.
No, it's just the contrast kind of between the interview and like him giving people advice, they're not taking it. Then he's throwing a temper tantrum on the bench. Look, I'm just trying. Edge. I'm trying to be honest, because like I'm biased towards liking Ronaldo, but it's not all, you know, roses as far as him coming in the club.
He's a big personality.
Are you kidding me? It's like unbelievable. Sir, we got a next match. Don't speaking of big
personalities, David Moyes coming up to Manchester.
Well, David Moyes, dude, he's gonna like David Moyes always blows it coming back. Manchester United versus West Ham at Old Trafford, sir, Saturday, January 22nd, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. Give me a 4 a.m. kickoff, sir. It's been a while. Games 170, drawn 32, lost 46 versus West Ham. Lifetime, first time we played them, 1911. February 1911, FA Cup. We lost 2-1, sir. Last five, we've won four. We lost one. Last time we lost was in the League Cup, sir. September 2021. This was this season when Ole, big rotation, kind of lost against West. This was kind of the beginning of the end here a little bit for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It was a weird big rotation, disrespect for the League Cup. A winnable trophy for us, and we lost.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about which game would you have cared to win more, right? Because if you notice, those games were 3 days apart. We did just beat them in the league on the road. I still did the league over that, over Carabao Cup. So they're going to be looking for revenge. It's a big match. You can have your energy drink cup anytime you want, sir. I'm good.
Sir, hindsight's 20/20, but, you know, when you're not winning the league and you need your... hungry,
we're out,
with trophies.
Bro. We're out, bro. It doesn't
You're
matter.
Hungry, 5-year drought, sir. Hungry for trophies. You need one, sir. This is like what this team is about. It's about delivering trophies. It doesn't matter if it's Carabao Cup or nothing, but this is a winnable game. That last time we played, we lost, sir. Last time we played, we lost. That wasn't the best team we had, though. Coming into this game, West Ham's form. Beat Watford 4-1. Beat Crystal Palace 3-2. Beat Leeds 2-0, sir, in the FA Cup. They beat Norwich 2-0, but Leeds just bested them 3-2 this past weekend. So, 4 wins, 1 loss to Leeds United, sir. Strong coming in here. West Ham, 4th in the table. But, you know, Moisey always blows it.
Hey, he blows it against United, against Old Trafford, but their team, their tough team, dirty team, a team that you hate to play against. What's his name? Who's playing really well at the moment? Bowen had a couple of goals. Antonio is kind of like a more talented Romelu Lukaku, it seems to be. And then Declan Rice is like English press, is new star boy. I've never seen them more in love with the player than they are with Declan Rice. But they're a good team, dude. They're going to be very difficult to play. They've got good wingbacks, Cresswell and Cafal. So, sir, we know who they are. We know who they're going to be about. Physical match. We got to win the 50-50s. We got to pass through the lines. And we have to defend better than we have been. Otherwise, it's going to be a long day.
Club was founded in 1895 as Thames Iron Works and reformed in 1900 as West Ham United. They moved to the Bowling Ground in 1904, which remained their home ground for more than a century. They've won the FA Cup 3 times, 64, 75, and 80. And they've also been runners-up twice in 23 and 2006. The club have reached 2 major European finals, winning the European Cup Winners' Cup in 1965 and finishing runners-up in the same competition in 1976. Sir, the club has a long-standing history with Millwall, one of Alex's favorite clubs, to visit while he's overseas. And the fixture between these two teams has gained notoriety for frequent incidents of footballing hooliganism.
Speaking of Millwall.
So, Alex, whenever he's on vacay, he likes to go be a Millwall hooligan.
That's what I do. You know, Manchester United hooligan isn't for me. It's Millwall. No, it's because I went with my father-in-law to a trip before I got married to his daughter, and his flight got delayed, sir. I was going to take it to a Millwall game. Shame on me. He missed the game. I won anyway.
I think I encouraged you to go to that
sir,
game.
Sir, colorful crowd. You're like, how could you not go to a game? Sir, I usually like to
we
see
like
full
this sport.
I see I love the sport, sir. Queens Park Rangers, we saw for a Friday night game.
The history of Millwall, you know.
Millwall, sir, I'm good. I'm not going back to that. It's called the Den. I'm not going
so
back to the Den.
We're going back.
Sorry,
going,
you go to the Den. Let me know. I'm going to go to lunch.
Let's go, this guy. Physioroom.com. Injuries to Manchester United. Paul Pogba, he's back in training. Not quite ready. We didn't see him on the bench. Wan-Bissaka, like you mentioned, he's sick. Tony Martial, just being a baby bee. No, just kidding. He was back for Manchester United. Ronaldo was back. Rashford was back. And Bailly at the African Cup of Nations. So really, the only players out. We also have Luke Shaw and Sancho. So it's basically Paul Pogba's coming back. Luke Shaw was out with a knock. Sancho and then Bailly at the African Cup of Nations. Not a terrible injury list for Manchester United. Maybe more of a players want to leave in January, not motivated list is really the problem when it comes to our squad. Given those injuries and who's not motivated at the moment, what is your starting 11?
What was it you called the last spot? Like Trisritis or like... Like they don't want to play no more.
Don't want to play no more. Itis.
Yeah, that. Okay. Anyway, we're talking about who's motivated to play. Here's my 11 for Saturday against the Hammers. So it's gonna be a big match. De Gea in net. Back four: Dalot, Lindelof, Varane, Shaw, Maguire. I'm sorry, bud, you're not starting yet. McFred, Bruno, Greenwood, Alonga, Ronaldo. I think it's basically the same 11 as today, sir. Who you got?
I'm bringing in Harry Maguire.
Harry Maguire, he drinks the vodka, he drinks the Jaeger, is it fire? Harry Maguire, Harry Maguire, he drinks the vodka, he drinks the Jaeger, is it smoking massive?
Sir, he's a good
what
player.
A song.
Sir, he needs to have the captaincy taken away from him and
of
given
course.
To Bruno.
It's Bruno's
like, that
captain.
Will set him free, bro. It's like he will be a better player because we won't have to worry about it. It was too much for him. You could see... And he's a good player, dude. He just shouldn't be the captain. Obviously, wasn't worth 80, but he's our player. And, sorry, he's still a beast. He just needs to, like, embrace the beast. He's a little too much of a pretty boy, right? He needs to embrace, he needs more of a Vidic and be more of a savage. He plays with his hair a little too much for me.
Lindelof plays, our center they back know, who plays with his hair the most is Lindelof,
that is
by,
true.
By the way.
That is true. He plays with hair a lot.
So I'm going to say Dave says Wan-Bissaka is coming in. Maguire, Varane, Shaw, Fred McTominay, Bruno Greenwood, Elanga, Ronaldo. I would like Ronaldo to get the drop. I would like Sancho to come in. I'd like to see Greenwood at number 9. I just don't think that's happening. You got to get Harry involved right away. It's popular to hate on Harry Maguire right now. And I agree he deserves a little shade. Because he's kind of moody, sounds like a bitch to the press. Like, Ole got fired. He was out, took a photo with somebody at some bar. Like, he just seems like a little clueless. But at the end of the day, there's a player there.
There
and
is.
We paid $80 million for him. And this club ain't selling him for $80 million. And then if they ain't selling him for $80 million, they ain't selling him. So we're stuck with him. So you better get him back in the 11 and start playing. And that's the only thing we have to do. So West Ham, Old English. Harry Maguire, Slabhead, let's go. I don't think Lindelof is that good.
He's not.
To keep Harry out. No. I mean, he had a decent game today.
No, he did.
But I just think you got to get Maguire back in there. You paid that money. Just like De Gea. De Gea has had bad days, and now he's playing lights out. You got to believe in Harry. I'm not writing him off just yet. I like that old back line, AWB, Maguire. You add Varane in, Shaw, you got to be solid.
No, I'm with you, dude. He is a great player. It's just like I think it's all in his head, and that happened because form is streaky. You know, we know that. And Rashford was going through a tough patch, and I think Bruno's going through a tough patch, and hopefully both of them have broken out of it. I think what will help him is moving the captaincy elsewhere. I think that will just give him less to think about, sir. We'll see what happens this weekend. It's going to be a big one.
Sir, give us the odds.
Odds. Man United are the favorites at -110. It's... +270, sir, for the draw, and +290, West Ham, the underdogs, on the road, sir. I'm not touching that, but whew, draw. It's,
what's your score prediction?
Sorry, it's going to be 1-0 United. Just bare-knuckle boxing match, brutal stuff. Old Trafford crowd compels us to victory, sir. We get there. What you got?
I'm going to say 2-2 draw, sir. We're going to score. We're going to concede. And I like to say 3-2, but, you know, I'm going to say 2-2. I've been trying to be a little more realistic with the predictions this year, if you haven't noticed, sir.
I don't.
United in the news. Manchester United's Jesse Lingard linked with Newcastle, but Rangnick reluctant to sanction exit. Apparently, Newcastle want him now. $2 million loan fee. £2 million loan fee to the end of the season. And then they pick him up after that, sir. He hasn't featured. I thought Rangnick coming in would like to get a more of a look at like a Lingard and a Donny. I thought this could be, you know, you get a new manager, you have players on the outs. Kind of separate the wheat from the chaff here. There might be a player there. Why sell him? But apparently, without playing him, Rangnick wants to keep him. I don't know here. This is just one of those things with the United. You got to make calls on players. You're going to get some wrong. You're going to get some right. Anthony Martial, you might get rid of him. He might be a worldie of a player. I doubt it.
He might.
You know what I'm saying? Memphis Depay got rid of him. He did well in the French League. You know, there is ceilings for players, and Paul Pogba got rid of him. He came good and then obviously came back, and we all know how that went. So the whole idea is you just got to make calls, and this team is like paralyzed by making calls.
They don't like to get rid of players, like, because this one, dude, they should have sold him the summer for less than they valued him for. They wanted 25, 30 million. They should have sold him for like whatever, 15. Just move him on, next up in line. And this is the same thing, dude. He hasn't really featured, but I think Rangnick's reluctance is, if we have another COVID outbreak, I need players available. I get it. But at the same time, I think what we've seen in the press is that there's some dissatisfied people that have probably been spilling beans. I have no proof it's Jesse, but it certainly could be. So I would just start getting players that want to leave out of the club, because there are a lot of those players. And like you said, we're not very good moving players in the general. There is demand for them. It's not much, but just like you're getting his wages off onto the next. Who's next? Anthony Martial.
Exactly. And that comes with Tony Martial. It's like, would you rather have Sevilla pay half of his wages so you can save money? It's like, at this point, you got to shit or get off the pot. And Manchester United is, they're not moving. And it's, you hate to see it, because you're supposed to have a director of football. This is what their job is, to be able to move players in and out, get rid of Jesse Lingard, offload some wages, sign a cheap player. See, there's a lot of CDMs whose contracts are going to go down and expire that you could get for cheap, and then you could pay them those wages. You get off the books. This is how it's supposed to go as a director of football, to get a better player in, have us have a better chance at making top four. But Manchester United just like to sit back, collect the dividend. Why do we got to work so hard here? Let's just not make any changes. Just McTominay, Fred, till they get injured, and then Matic, and then he gets injured, and then we're going to be putting Bruno Fernandes at the CDM position.
Sir, speaking of not working hard, like the next story, I couldn't believe it. I love it. It's leaking. Just
tell us, sir.
Sir, Ed Woodward's final United pay. So basically, it leaked how much they've been paying Ed Woodward, sir. They've been paying Ed Woodward the highest of any chief executive in the Premier League. He gets paid more than anybody else. They decreased it. It used to get paid £3.1 million. They decreased it to 2.9 million pounds. And apparently, there you go, dude. We have the highest paid executive. He's the worst executive in the league, probably in football, dude, arguably. Like, there is a very strong argument to be made that no football club has been more poorly run over the last 15 years than Manchester United. Literally into the ground. Perennial champions, most successful club in England. Mismanaged, misrun, poorly invested. Sir, Ed Woodward.
Not from the Glazer perspective. He grew revenue and he allowed them to just...
Dividend.
Ed Woodward manages all the equity offerings for Manchester United, sir. Helped them with the takeover. Got them paid, gets the dividend, manages everything so that they don't have to deal with it. Sir, he's basically a glorified housekeeper or someone who watches your house, sir. It's like, you know, he's basically like a steward of the club. He's taking his pay and they don't care. And so Edward Ward's on their side with this one. It's about all about the Benjamins, and it's hard to run a football club with no sort of concern over the performances on the pitch or understanding the modern game or understanding what your competitors are doing. Like, the whole idea is, like, if he was like 25% football and 75% commercial, it could make sense. Or if he would delegate football to someone who knew what the fuck they were doing, it would make sense. Good executives know what they don't know. Ed Woodward isn't that type of guy. If you haven't got the MO, he likes all the photos with all the players and all the signings. He likes all the shine. Sir, he wanted to create the Super League. He wanted to ruin football. Then he spun it in the press that it wasn't his idea. Yeah, know, he spun it in the press like he resigned because the Glazers made him do it. Like, and this is like the type of snake that he is. I'm done with Ed Woodward. He's leaving. We got his numpty number two, whatever.
They ain't leaving.
Next one here. Big news, sir. I wish, I can't wait for the day when we don't have to say his name.
I'm so sick of him. But it was news.
How many hours have we talked about this on
more
the pod?
More than we've talked about or even more, seen him play, probably. Okay. Honestly.
Here's what I'll say. And the amount of hours that we talked about Paul Pogba on this podcast is outweighed the amount of hours he's played well for Manchester United.
I think just in general, like the amount of minutes he's probably played in the last 4 years, 5 years, we've talked about him more. So, sir, it was big news. Rangnick's
plays for us still?
Apparently. He'll be in warm weather training camp in Dubai.
Okay, so the article, getting to the news, Ralf Rangnick says Paul Pogba may be motivated by impressing his suitors. His contract's running out. Rangnick has made stark admissions about two of Manchester United's most expensive signings, saying Paul Pogba may be motivated to perform only because he wants to leave. And that Jadon Sancho is struggling to deal with the psychological pressure of playing for Manchester United. The quotes go, sir, you get into these quotes.
Well, the meaty part was about, like, you know, we know the case. Even if it's only, okay, as long as this is the case, why shouldn't Paul Pogba now, after 2.5 months of injury, fully fit again, want to show the fans of Manchester United, the board, the whole world, what kind of player he can be? This is the meaty stuff that, like, you know, turned into a lot of clickbait. Even if it's only to show enough for a new contract elsewhere, he will be highly motivated to do that. And why should I then not play him? But there is a difference in how players deal with their current situation. If they handle that in a professional way, an ambitious way, I will play the players, although they have a contract expiring in the summer. So that speaks that Pogba's in a camp of expiring contract, playing professionally. There are players that are not doing that. So he's not wrong. It's like, for us, it doesn't matter. He's leaving anyway. We're getting nothing back. Ed Woodward, ha. But we want him to help us get in the top four, so I'm with him. Let's play him. Who gives a shit? What's the difference?
No, I totally agree. I mean, this is football is always changing, right? I think you saw the paradigm shift. I think the Ronaldo deal was sort of like a earth-shattering amount of money, like Real Madrid buying Cristiano Ronaldo. That kind of set the new bar of, like, the Neymar deals, everything we saw since then, sir. I think that kind of changed and blew up the whole market, blew up the whole wage structure. I think the whole wage structure and transfer fee structure has been blown up, has gone up so high to the point where it's bankrupted clubs like Barcelona, right? So it's basically the transfer fees and the wages have gone so high, and then it's basically just destroyed these huge clubs like Barcelona, billions in debt. Obviously, Manchester United, we are billions in debt, but we have one of the highest amounts of revenue in the world for a football club, so we can actually afford all the Glazers' liabilities. Da, 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 da. The idea behind this and financial fair play is basically saying, look, it's coming back down to earth. And then the layer behind that is players now realize it's better for them to run their deal down. Mbappe's running his deal down. Paul Pogba's running his deal down. There's so many players. The rumor is it's about $1.5 billion in transfer fees is going to be lost to clubs. So clubs are not going to be getting paid for these players anymore. And then their cash coffers are going to go down, and that will further impact the transfer market as far as what values can be paid for players. And this is how everything's going, where the value of transfers is being transferred to Paul Pogba. He can sign a $50 million sign-on fee for Real Madrid, and that'd be cheaper than the $120 they had to pay 3 years ago. And it goes right into his pocket. So, of course, Paul Pogba is going to do that deal. But the question now is, does Real Madrid have the money? The clubs aren't as rich as they were. There are some clubs who are rich, Newcastle, Chelsea, etc. So City. You have sort of this sovereign wealth, this player power grab by running deals down, And these new dynamics in the transfer market are going to make it really interesting, where the power is shifting to the players, the transfer fees are shifting to the players. And so how is this going to impact the transfer market going forward? I think this summer is a big setup for what we're going to see going forward. Also, the Haaland deal is a great sort of window in what you're going to see. Hey, I'm going to sign a deal for 3 years, but I'm going to have a really low buyout.
Structure it.
And oh, by the way, you're not just going to pay the buyout to get Haaland. You're going to pay the buyout. You're going to pay Raiola. You're going to pay Haaland's dad. You're going to pay Haaland. So it's actually going to be 130 million pounds. It's just going to be split differently.
Yeah,
player's going to get more of that fee. So now Dortmund, who used to get the 120, is going to get 60.
Right.
And now they're going to have less money to spend. Right. So it's going to be a really interesting dynamic.
But you know what? On a surface level, you're going to lose the Paul Pogba's of the world, right? Herrera was the first glimpse into this. Players leaving on a free, getting big money elsewhere. That only just started a couple years ago. Pogba and Mbappe. But it goes both ways, because Manchester United will actually benefit from this as well, sir. The Kessies of the world, these players that we could pick up, right? There are other players outside of Mbappe and Paul Pogba that are going to do this tactic, and Manchester United can't afford wages. I know right now we are like up to our eyeballs in it because of Pogba and Ronaldo and et cetera, et cetera. But if we get some of these off in a year or two, it will give us room to be competitive in the new world, which is all going to be about wages.
Yes, exactly. Right?
Which we can't afford.
The new world will be about wages.
Which would be a good thing, actually, for United, assuming we have a competent front office, which we don't. So, but hey.
No, exactly. But here's the thing. We never sold players for lots of money. I mean, we're a bad selling club. We're always losing money paying these fees. So this dynamic could benefit Manchester United, whose wage bill is already blown up. Speaking of the Ronaldo deal right now, wage bill blown up. Bruno Fernandes, next article here. He's upset. Ronaldo's making four times the money he is. But that's because the Ronaldo deal was structured in such a way. Like, again, Juventus didn't get a big fee because it was that or nothing, and they had no option. And then we decided to basically make it up in the salary to entice Ronaldo to come. So you're starting to see this sort of change where it's going to be the big wage deals get players in versus these big transfer fees, so that you can think of the transfer fees transitioning into wages over time, right? And Manchester United, given our huge amount of revenue, can afford that.
It's actually bad for the game. The more you think about it, it's like it will be good for us.
Well, the rich will get richer.
The rich will get richer. The poor, right? They will no longer have like these massive windfalls like the Monacos did, or all these other feeder club. Like the Monaco isn't even relevant anymore. But you know what I mean, like the Dortmunds, etc. The clubs or the Lille's, like the clubs that have fed all these good players and make a shit ton of money. Even the Brentford of the world, they made a ton of money actually over the last couple of years selling players. It is going to shift the power back to the wealthy clubs. Ourselves
included. I actually think it could do the opposite as well, where it kind of unclogs. Like a great example, a player like Koulibaly at Napoli, right? It's just players, clubs posturing with these outrageous fees, and then there's no deal, and then they never make money on Koulibaly. You know, and I think these types of moves, the big posturing over years, people are just going to sell for 60. You know, because the market's going to come back to what essentially clubs can afford without going bankrupt, assuming that world football can deal with some sort of financial fair play that makes sense. Like, you don't have the Barcelonas going bankrupt, et cetera. There's going to be an affordability. The market will be set. And this dynamic of player power is going to be, we're going to keep you guys posted, because this is going to be a crazy summer. Paul Pogba, Mbappe. I mean, like, this is kind of what happened in the NBA in the United States. I think LeBron signs 1 year deal and decides what he wants to do every season, right? He can just do whatever he wants.
Dude, we're seeing that in the U.S. labor market, right? Power to the worker. It's like power to the footballer. They're going to have a lot more influence about like the contracts they sign as this picks up pace. I do think a competent front office could be very benefited in this environment, but like we're not even as well run as Newcastle is. They came in a month, bro, are outshining us. It's like unbelievable. It doesn't take that much.
Sir, they're facing relegation.
Sir, I'm aware of that, but like
big Newcastle,
their aptitude in the transfer. They did. So they got, how much did they get Trippier for? 12 and a half? Come on.
Jumping into the fan questions here, at JDW, quote, tale of two halves should be our damn motto. Much better second half, but a lot of work to be done as well. Midfield stop not secure, but McTominay showed some nice ball skills today. 3 out of 3 for the academy. On to West Ham United. And oh, Manchester United women took down Arsenal in their cup tie. Well done, sir, to the Manchester United women.
Well done. Got to see winning all over the place. A lot of work to be done. Improvements being made. Sorry, big game. Hammers. David Moyes, tactical genius. Can't wait.
At Mike United Mets, quote, there's a word for that second half, or at least a made-up word. It is clinicality, baby. Tell him.
It is a word. It's a word, sir.
It's not a word.
It is a word. I looked it up, bro.
It's not a word.
It is a word.
No, I had my wife was a lawyer. It's not a word. If you Google it, there is a search for it, but if you go to any dictionary, it's not a word.
I'm going to go find a dictionary. Clinicality exists, sir.
It does not. Somebody, it does not exist, sir. Trust me. At M. Hersey 5, quote, what a tale of two halves. First one was dreadful. Second half, I thought we played well. Bummer for De Gea not getting the clean sheet. I really wanted that as well. Great for Rashford to get a goal. Ronaldo needs to fix his attitude when subbed off. He's smart enough to know we don't need that right now.
Ronaldo's going to be who Ronaldo is. We know who he was when he signed him. He was always going to be the kind of player that gets pissed off when he's subbed. You know what? That infectious winning attitude is not a bad thing when a club is a little soft at the moment.
Sir, next tweet here, at Jerry United. In one word, clinicality.
I'm going to write a dictionary. I'm going to write a dictionary.
Why don't you want credit for a made-up word?
I'm pretty sure it's a word. You say Google's lying. I'm going to call your wife.
No,
she
Googled it, and like there's actually a word it's not. If you actually look for a dictionary, any modification,
but who decides a word is a word? Because they make up new fucking words,
sure,
like every day.
But
bro,
I'm saying, like, we could get this trending on Twitter and they could add it to the dictionary, and next to it will be a photo of you wearing America Red Devils hoodie.
Woo! There you go. Pick them up, americaredevils.com. Check out our store, they're amazing.
At Daft Monk 15, is it me or did Rashford's movement and running form for his goal look like Timo Werner at RB Leipzig, sir? I didn't watch much Timo Werner at RB Leipzig, but still a great run and great finish for Marcus Rashford.
That looked like vintage Marcus Rashford. That looked like a vintage Manchester United counterattack, and that was just great to see. What a finish, by the way. That was not an easy finish. He made look so easy. That was clinical. Clinicality, if you will. I'm going to lead into this shit.
At Gordon Friedrich, quote, great to see the unselfishness from the front line. They looked like a team that enjoyed setting teammates up in the second half. Wonderful to see joy in their eyes, minus Ronaldo. I agree. Like that, you know, I was saying, like, we are good at that, but we haven't been good at that recently. And to see that sort of click in and Bruno involved in the middle of it, Fred with a great ball, you know, that's what you want to see for United. You need that mojo in attack. You know, you need to add that Cavani to it too. You need these players scoring, you need them vibing, you need that. When were we at our best? Cavani defending Greenwood on the pitch, that team coming together. We need that type of attitude at United, and anything will help us get there. Scoring will help us get there.
Dude, who have been the best two players over the last 3 years? Marcus Rashford, Bruno Fernandes. We have been playing well. They have been playing well. They played well in the later half of this game. We got some goals. We need that, sir. We can't do everything right, but if we can counter, that is something. And that used to be a big part of our game. We need to lean into that in the near term.
Sir, that's it. That's the podcast. We are the American Red Devils. We are for fans, by fans. You want to support us, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website. Alex, part two article is dropping. Amazing fan-generated content, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Also, click on store. Anything you buy supports the podcast. We got some great stickers, pins, sir. Our pins are absolutely fire as well. Please support us. Everything you purchase goes directly into the bunker attached to Alex's garage without heating. Sir, we got some top downloads last 7 days. You want to give us that list?
I want to give you that list. It's a difficult to pronounce list, sir, so you're welcome. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Corinth, Mississippi. Houston, Texas. Clark. Clarkston, Michigan. Thomas Jord, Norway. Tonesburg, Norway. London, Canada. Drogheda, Ireland. San Jose, California. Brentwood, California.
Shout out Brentwood.
Yeah, shout out Brentwood. White tees, bro. last but not least, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We got the best fans in the world. We got the best club in the world. We got the worst owners in the world. But we have each other. And we got 3 points on the board. We got a big game on the weekend. David Moyes, tactical genius, on his way up to Manchester. Let's give him a little lesson. Ralph Rednick's, I don't even know what it's called. Ultra Press?
Quick word association for anyone who listened to the last podcast. First thing that comes to your head when I say Pochettino.
I don't know. Asada?
Maurizio Pochettino. He's going to be the next manager of Manchester United. You don't like the guy.
I'm a big fan, bro.
You sweating it?
He's definitely going to be the manager. It's like 90% chance. 10% we get Eric. 90% we get Mac. Maurizio Pochettino.
Sir, regardless.
Whatever it is,
you know,
it doesn't matter. It's all good.
We have a lot of games left. Big game at the weekend. Everybody enjoy it. Then we got international break. We'll be doing the U.S. Men's National Team Takeover podcast. Hopefully getting our boy Mike back on the pod. Otherwise, it's me and Alex talking about.
Where are you at, Mike?
Talking about a United States Men's National Team, sir. That's a lot to say. I'll tell you, they got to shorten that up. You get, like, you know.
U.S. soccer.
Yeah.
They got to do. It's way too many. Too many letters.
United States Men's National Team, sir. You know, but regardless. Hopefully they can qualify for the World Cup, sir. Some big games, critical games. So it's good to have that during an international break as well. But we're going to be leaving you with another great song that the Stratford Inn was singing. Oh, what a night, sir. Late in May in 1999. Everyone have a great weekend.